As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Listening to the number one Chicago Bears podcast, unrivaled, unmatched, and unequaled, Hogan Johns. Covering the Bears from CHGO, it's Adam Ho. And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns. Together, they're the Adams.
The Adams converge.
The consummate pros, the incomparable Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns with you on a Tuesday off-season episode. Finally feeling like the off-season. I went to a basketball game last night, John.
High school?
No. Although, at times, it kind of looked like a high school
game. Oh, you saw Northwestern.
No, I saw Wisconsin, let's be fair. Northwestern played well.
You went all the way up to Madison?
No. Dude, pay attention to Chicago sports.
I don't follow it at all.
Wisconsin played in Evanston last night.
It's not Chicago sports.
Wow. Shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
Shots fired. No,
I know Purdue's the number one team in the country.
Yeah, good for them. Enjoy that, Greg Braggs, while it lasts. I'm sure they'll still lose to Wisconsin sometime this season. No, my point was, though, I saw Pat Finley at the game. It was just a Monday night. We were both commenting on like, hey, isn't it great? We're not covering like a coaching search or a GM search right now. This is nice to have a Monday night in January.
Do you know that the Colts, could you imagine this? The Colts just set like a record for interviewing candidates.
Yeah. By the way, this head coaching cycle is weird. There's like no movement. They're all interviewing the same people.
They're going to interview 20 dudes and just keep Jeff Saturday.
Right. Or hire JJ Stankovic.
Could be better than Jeff Saturday.
I mean, he keeps getting new opportunities there, so I think they should just make him the head coach.
Yeah. Rising the ranks.
Team reporter, PA guy, crushes that, head coach. Makes perfect sense to me. I mean, makes more sense than most of the things they're doing down there. Anyway, the one thing the Bears have been involved in as we get going here, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogan, at Adam Johns. You can read Johnsy on The Athletic, me at allchgo.com. We're going to have John Greenberg join us here in a little bit, too, to talk about his reaction to Kevin Warren, some of the stadium stuff. He's always got interesting insight on all those things, especially when off the field stuff, business type things. Greenberg's always on top of that stuff. So we'll bring him in here in a little bit. But it was interesting that Ian Cunningham, the Bears assistant GM, decided to stay put. I mean, we're now down to multiple reports, including Jay Glazer over the weekend, that he turned down the Cardinals GM job.
I like it for the Bears, but I also like it because it's a young executive, maybe not rushing into a job. Like, how often do you see that? Like, GMs don't get second chances.
That's why you gotta be careful.
Do. Yes, yes. They don't get those second opportunities. They get, like, higher up. Not higher up, but, like, random titles with other teams eventually. But, like, I don't think Ryan Pace will ever get another opportunity as the man in charge. Do you?
Hmm. Chances are no.
Like Atlanta's got to go on some crazy successful run, right? Justin Fields has to pan out for the Bears, and then maybe he gets that opportunity. But I think my point is valid. They don't get opportunities, second opportunities often. So
yeah, I mean,
feel good about your situation.
Because look, if the Mitch Trubisky thing doesn't happen, Ryan Mace's tenure in Chicago isn't. I mean, we've talked about all that before.
It's like saying if the Chicago Fire didn't happen.
The soccer team? That's mean, too. You're just taking shots at everybody.
Everybody.
No, I know what you meant. Yeah, no, I'm not. Obviously, it did happen. But yes, but your point about Justin Fields is valid, because if that works out, I don't know. It's an interesting question. Probably not. But he's still young enough and did make, I don't know, you look at the pieces on this roster and, if we're being honest, most of them were still brought in here by Ryan Pace. But to your point, I mean, Ian Cunningham being picky, because you only get one shot. You want to make sure it's a good situation. I don't know right now the Cardinals are a good situation.
This is also his first time through this level of search, GM search, right? Ryan Poles went through it twice. Maybe he's learning from his good friend in this business, where be patient, learn what you can learn going through it the first time, and then by next year, should be a candidate again, he'll know what he wants. And that's important, too. Like, inheriting Kyler Gordon his contract, is that the best place for you to start? I'm not sure.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, right? I say Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe
I'm off my game. It's off season.
Kyler Gordon could be maybe a decent quarterback for them, too. I don't know. I do think it's interesting, though. Like you said, Ryan Pace has to have, or the Falcons would have to go on a run for Ryan Pace to get another opportunity. Like, I think that's where teams get caught up in mistakes too often, just like getting the hot candidate from the hot team. I think it says something about Ian Cunningham that the Bears just went 3-14 and he got offered a job. I mean, that shows you they're
and
not
then
just
turned it down.
Yeah. They're not just chasing some team's success and trying to replicate it. They're, you know, clearly there's something about Ian Cunningham, the candidate, that really stood out. And he was a finalist in Tennessee too, so it wasn't just like one job.
So he should feel good where he stands. This is also a unique opportunity for him here. He likes working with Ryan Poles, and the Bears have the first overall pick and a bunch of cap space. And a new president, Kevin Warren.
Yeah. But, you know,
plenty to learn from.
There's also a lot of work to do this offseason. All right, let's bring in John Greenberg now, of course, columnist for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at John_Greenberg. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys?
Good morning, John. You're putting on the morning hat?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my computer thing set up. There we go. Okay. Yeah, still dressed in how I walked my daughter to the bus stop.
Okay.
You guys are all professional looking.
No, I mean, I'm wearing a t-shirt that really doesn't even make sense.
What's that say?
Since we finally made a shirt.
What the hell's that mean?
I don't know. It's a, you know,
it's an inside Hogan John's joke here, John.
Oh yeah, of course I know that.
Yeah. Well, the joke was that we talked about shirts on the show for like 3 years and just never followed through.
So and then I'm wearing a Steelers sweatshirt.
Wow.
That's cool.
Everybody's just taking shots at like Chicago people so far on this show. John, you weren't in here, but I mean, John's was just basically saying Northwestern's not a Chicago school.
I mean, it's really not. Like, how many? I mean, it's like a how many local Chicagoans like, oh man, I love Northwestern. I mean, maybe like Fishbane, like, you know, or like people that like live literally in Evanston or like Wilmette. You know, they're like the North Shore team. It's always funny because I felt like the Tribune always used to like devote a lot of resources to Northwestern because like they felt that was their readership, were like people that lived in the North Shore that either went there or like from Winnetka or Kenilworth, right? Like Megan Malwicki's like customer or like real estate clients or like their fans. I always felt like the Tribune, that was like classic Tribune. Like, we really got to cover this Northwestern team.
Yeah, sorry. But no, they did it well. And you know, obviously, I'm not gonna lie. There were more Wisconsin fans last night at the game than Northwestern fans.
Of course, there are no Northwestern fans.
Granted, it was a rescheduled game. It was supposed to be Saturday, so
A Big Ten. Chicago's a Big Ten city. Like, it's, you know, if you walk down the ball, you know, if you, I mean, I'm just gonna go north side here, not to, you know, whatever. But like, you know, you'll see like Michigan State bars, Wisconsin bars, Michigan bars. And then maybe like a cup, then maybe like an Illinois bar, like one or two, and like no Northwestern bars. They don't exist.
No, they're in Evanston.
They're not even there.
Well, does the keg still exist? No, the keg's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, keg's gone.
See, nothing.
I honestly wouldn't know because like being at the games, it's not like I was going to a bar before the game or knew where to go. Kevin Fishbane would know.
You know what's funny is I took my son to a Steelers game this year for the first time. And he had never been to an NFL game, and he's 12, so it was like, you know, the pandemic was a couple of years where I would have taken him, you know, and I felt like he was old enough. And before that, the highest profile football game he'd ever been to was Ohio University at Northwestern, like one of those early season ones where their students aren't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. It was like, it was such a bad game and a bad atmosphere. And then I take him to a Steelers game with like 70,000 people, and everyone is wearing a jersey. Or like a jack, you know what I mean? Everyone's so fired up. It was just like, blew his mind. Like, that's what a football game's like.
Well, I guess the connection here that we can make between the Big Ten and conversation relevant to the Bears would be Kevin Warren. John, you were there last week. Right. We're still kind of discussing the fallout of Kevin Warren and some of the stadium stuff and what might happen here. But just what was your overall reaction to what went down last week at Owls Hall?
Big talker. He likes to talk. I'll tell you what, that guy can spin a yarn. You know, I debate on the value of like, how much does it mean for like public relations for him to put on, for like Bears fans to see him and not want to like, you know, throw up, not want to like, you know, throw the remote like when Ted Phillips talked. Because the Ted and George shows was a big failure. And I don't think it helped the Bears in that sense. But how important is that really? It's not like anyone's canceling their season tickets or not watching the Bears because they didn't like Ted Phillips. So, I mean, I do still think it is a little bit of a value that when Kevin Warren talks, maybe he might inspire a little more confidence in the organization. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but you know, he's got a job to do, and that's like the stadium thing's number one, obviously. And then there's going to be a lot of other, you know, little things he's got to do in the organization to maybe put people in positions to succeed. And there's definitely parts of the organization that need to improve. You know, and he's also going to have, like we found out, like, you know, some football power. And he might say he's just there to advise Ryan Poles, but we've seen when someone gets the power to be the president of an organization and the actual on-field product falls under their umbrella, they're going to take advantage of that. I don't care who you are. I don't care how humble someone says they are or whatever. You know, he's going to have football power. Like, I don't think there's any. So is that going to be a good thing or a bad thing? You know, we'll have to see. But I think the fact that Ryan Poles is reporting to him and not George is kind of a big deal. And, you know, I think Poles is probably like says he's happy about it. But I wonder if he has some questions, you know, too, on how that's going to work.
I think it's just a matter of what George prefers. And I think this conversation is like part of the reaction to everything that happened. Like, as a columnist, like, what was your reaction like to the overall reaction, which seemed to be generally positive? You know,
yeah.
I left there thinking like, holy moly, this guy is different than anything I've ever covered here in my 10 plus years covering this team.
Oh,
like, 100%. Like, that was my strongest takeaway. What was your kind of like, go ahead. Yeah.
I was kind of chuckling a little bit. Some of the early reactions where some reporters are like celebrating the hire. Like what I mean, it's on our job to really celebrate the hire. Like, you know, I don't know like what he's really going to, you know, it's still the on-field product's the on-field product, but you know, and finding out that he's going to actually have some, cause we didn't know that at first, that he is going to have more impact maybe than we initially thought, makes it, you know, a little more important in some sense. I think so. I think he seems, you know, we had that breakout with him and, you know, I thought he seemed, you know, he's very rehearsed and very like, you know, he's going to talk about stuff, but I also thought he showed some personality and like, you know, even some of the stuff like when we were, you know, joking about, I joked about the field stuff. And, you know, and the stuff with the Big Ten, the parents protesting, he kind of cracked a little bit on that. Yeah, I'm impressed with him. I mean, not everyone likes him. That's not true. But, you know, I feel like a lot of the NFL people seem to like him more than the college people do, which is not a surprise. And for me, as someone who's kind of anti-college sports as beyond just watching it, you know, I'm fine with that. Like, I don't care if a bunch of anonymous Big Ten ADs or executives didn't like him. That like means nothing to me.
Chancellors.
Right. Chancellor. I mean, like, yeah, who cares?
Anonymous chancellors.
Right. Like, it's such, the college is such, sports is such a racket. So like, that doesn't bother me. I'm not surprised one bit that he would leave at the first, you know, obviously he's going to make more money, but like, you know, and more power. So I'm not surprised he would want to leave, but yeah, I'm impressed. I think he could be good, but we'll see. I mean, like, the stadium stuff, you know, to me, it's just, he's just got to get it done. He's got to help get it done. Cause, you know, we're saying he's, you know, he didn't like actually build the Viking Stadium, I don't think, right? He didn't lay any rebar or like,
I don't know. He said he needed to measure every piece of wood and, you know, it's got to be 41 feet instead of 40.
So listen, if he's got an eye for, like, he's got an eye for detail, I mean, yeah, I think Bears fans should feel pretty good about it, but I think they should, you know, the more important stuff is what happens this offseason.
And John, what I'm interested in is, because you mentioned like how he's such a big talker, and one of the things, because I've done some digging on some of the Big Ten stuff, and like the one thing is like when he says these things, then it's like who's going to deliver it, and so it like. Sure. Sometimes the reaction would be like, well, wait, what did he say? What did he promise here? And who's going to get it done now? Right. And it's just sometimes it's a lot. And so it's great to dream big. But what I'm very fascinated, because I had one person tell me this last week, is just like, this does not seem like a McCaskey hire. Like it is like they're definitely turning this over to Kevin Warren, and it's the Kevin Warren show now. And, you know, probably in part the Kevin Warren, Ryan Pohl show. But on the business side, I'm just really going to be fascinated to see like what that reaction is to like working for him and getting these things done, because it's just like the Bears have been relatively stagnant as an organization. I think that there's certain areas where that's improved over the last like 5 years when you talk about like improving the facilities and some of the stuff like that, and even going down the Arlington Heights road. Like there have been signs that they're moving this direction, but And they've made tremendous strides too, I think, when it comes to diversity. But I'm just very fascinated to see, like, because when Kevin Warren walks in that building for the first time, it's going to be like just a completely different atmosphere.
And I think you make a good point too about, like, it sounds like maybe at the Big Ten, people were tired of him like promising big things and then they had to actually do the work. So I think there probably are some valid, you know, from some of the anonymous people complaining, I'm sure there's some valid like criticisms there. The interesting thing about me and all the culture stuff at Halas is like, I felt from talking to people that Halas is actually a pretty decent place to work. I don't think everyone like loved Ted all the time, but you know, I've heard people say it's like nice place to work. And I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is you're right. It wasn't a McCaskey hire. So maybe people should feel good about that. It was a search firm hire, right? I mean, that's what it is. You know, Kevin Warren joked about like, you know, God was going to kind of take, not joked, but said like God was going to kind of take care of it. He wasn't going to politic for the job. Be like, well, right. You're not going to politic for it because a search firm has your name. You're obviously like, you know,
you're also like the most qualified candidate out there.
Right. He was super qualified. And like, you know, so like in one sense, anyone that George picks, you have to be skeptical about, and Ted pick. Right. In another sense, like it does seem like he is actually like legitimately qualified. He's worked for all these NFL teams. You know, he knows the lay of the land. He's got experience doing the big picture stuff with the Big Ten. You know, and he's got experience doing the stadium stuff. So seems like he's really qualified. I think it will be very interesting, like you said, though, for people that actually work at the Bears. Now they're working for him. Now they're working for someone completely different. They're used to Ted. People have stayed there a while. I mean, it's going to be different, and it's going to be, I bet you a lot of people leave through their own volition or through like getting pushed out the door for new people that he knows and he's familiar with. But I mean, it's a weird org, man. I mean, that is like you said, like they've made big strides in the past 5 years. But I remember talking to someone on the business side years ago. This is back in the kind of early to mid 2000s. And he said, he's like, when I came here, they had never bought billboards before. Like, they didn't have billboard advertising plan. Like, because they're just like, we're the Bears. What do we need a billboard for? We have all our tickets sold. They like didn't get stuff like that. They were like, oh, that's a waste of money because we have our tickets sold. So that's all changed, right? House Hall is great, but like, I agree. It's going to be a huge culture shock for people working there, which is not really our problem.
What do you make of, I wonder if they'll lose that family-friendly atmosphere a little bit that's existed. I think maybe Kevin Warren brings some of that, but what do you make of like the Jim Finks comparisons? Because that was like the last outsider,
I think it's hired. A good one. And it kind of reminds me of like what goes on with the White Sox. And, you know, obviously Mike was the one that hired Arturis Karnisovas, and he brought in Mark Eversley. And, you know, someone had brought up to me before that one of the reasons Jerry Reinsdorf would never hire outsiders and hadn't in decades is because he hired Larry Himes to run the Sox, and Larry basically told him to stay out of my way, which is the same thing that Jim Finks, you know, told McCaskey. So that's why these owners don't do it, because they want to have some control. They want to be able to walk in every meeting, and they want to, you know, they do own the place. And sometimes when you bring in outsiders, they don't have the deference, you know, to that. So Kevin Warren seems a little more politically savvy, that he gets that he could probably look at George and understand how to work with him and how not to offend him. Whereas maybe executives in the 70s and 80s were a little more like rough around the edges and weren't going to deal with that. Larry Himes, same way. But that's, you know, I've learned that lesson from covering Reinsdorf teams, of that's why he sticks to people he's known for like 30 years usually. The difference now with the Bulls is Michael runs it. So he went off script a little bit. So we'll see if the same kind of thing happens, you know, with the Bears. But yeah, I think Kevin Warren is savvy enough to navigate that problem.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've been through the hiring process before. It can be a pain, but LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. And at this point, 2.5 million small businesses are using LinkedIn for hiring. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You used to do some stuff in marketing. So it's part of the why you're good with this
stuff. Team marketing report.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, team marketing report. What do you think the Bears are still lacking from that standpoint? I mean, because they have made strides, and I think those are the areas that, like, where Ted Phillips doesn't actually get some credit that he probably deserves in doing some of those things that you talked about earlier and getting the Bears, you know, closer to this century. But, like, where do you still feel like they can, whether it's a stadium or not, where they can make strides in that area?
Yeah, that's a great, that is actually an interesting question. I mean, yeah, it's stadium stuff. I mean, Soldier Field's a mess. I mean, it's just not, like, a great place. And I'm, like, I'm actually pretty anti the new stadium stuff because I think it's just a waste of money, especially for football stadiums that you don't use as much, you know, as you would like a baseball stadium or another arena. But Soldier Field does kind of suck. And I think the fan experience is not great inside the stadium. I actually don't think the outside stuff's as bad as people make it out to be. But yeah, that would help. You know what's interesting? Like, just like as far as marketing, I had this conversation with my son because we were at the Miami airport over winter break, and there's a Miami Heat store in the airport. It's like real jerseys, real T-shirts, like good stuff, like stuff you would buy at the arena. Why isn't there a Bears one at O'Hare? Like, why isn't there more like Bears merch?
You like know what Chicago I mean? Available. Blackhawks restaurant.
Yeah, the Chicago, right, with the old frame jerseys there.
Is there like, only is there only team store in Soldier Field? Like, because I know that one exists. Like, you can drive to Soldier Field, park in the north garage.
And, oh,
like,
can you?
Yeah, you at least you used to be able to. I've done it before, but that was a long time ago. I think it's still there. But, like, think about how not convenient that is.
Yeah, like, when
you drive down Michigan Avenue, there's a giant Blackhawk store.
Right. There is that. And the Bears have a downtown office now, which they've opened to help their sales and like marketing teams. Yeah. You know what? I think the best thing they could do is win, actually. I mean, really, that's like, seriously, that's the way you want to sell jerseys. How about you win? How about you have like exciting players? Like a lot of Justin Fields jerseys now. Like I see them all the kids are wearing them now. Like for a while, you never saw kids in Bears jerseys. Right. You see, because it's fantasy and everything else, and every kid's got red zone. And every kid likes good quarterbacks for other teams. Yeah, so how about the Bears win consistently with exciting players? That would be the best marketing they can do because they don't need any help getting on shows, right? They don't need any help getting on sports radio. They don't need any help, you know, I don't know other ways to market. I mean, I think they're pretty, like, active in TikTok and Twitter and crap like
they've
that.
They've expanded their efforts.
And I know they hired my friend Nicole Bersani Zimmer. She came over from the Cubs. She really knows how to do Twitter and social media. So they've made some good hires. I mean, they have Larry Mayer. The kids love Larry.
I mean, Lunch with Larry, baby.
Everybody loves Larry. Lunch with Larry.
My kids are always talking about that. So, no, I mean, you know, how many podcasts are there? I mean, it's really only one Bears podcast, but then there's some other pretenders.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
You managed to compliment and offend me at the same time. That was good.
All right. Yeah, you do that other one, too. There's two good podcasts. So I think it's just winning because they're not associated with winning. And, like, I bring this story up to people last season, not this past one, but the one before, when Fields was a rookie. I did a story on, you know, the fact that he's really the second black quarterback they've had that's played any substantial amount of time. You know, Cordell had, what, 7 games. Jason Campbell started once, you know. Henry Burris started once. So he was the second one. So I wanted to talk to high school quarterbacks who are black and see, like, is he, like, an inspiration, that type of stuff. And the time was running out, so I did it. Talked to one kid. He's starting at Fenwick. He's now at Ball State. Give him my whole spiel of what I'm doing. And he goes, listen, he's like, I got to be honest. I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. From Chicago, he's from Naperville, plays at Fenwick, Aaron Rodgers fan. Of course he's an Aaron Rodgers fan. Why wouldn't he be? If he's a quarterback, who's he going to look up to? You know, who is he looking? He wasn't going to look up to Mitch. Is he going to look up to Jay? No. You know, you looked up to someone who's successful. And I think that's a major problem. That's the major problem with the Bears in my mind, is that kids in this area don't really like them. And, yeah, their parents do, and they might have to watch a game with them. But if you're a kid from this area, you know, why would you want to watch the Bears? And Justin Fields is like, if he's really good and this really sticks and he really improves this next year, is the antidote, you know, to kind of that fan like laziness.
Yeah. Well, and to kind of bring this full like around full circle, that's why business CEOs get involved in the football stuff sometime. Because mm-hmm. like what you're talking about, the Bears have lacked. And like when you see kids walking around in Patrick Mahomes jerseys, which is like an extra insult because that could have been the Bears quarterback. I mean, that's why if you're Kevin Warren, we always talk about like GMs inheriting a yeah. good situation. We were just talking about Ian Cunningham at the top of the podcast. But like if you're Kevin Warren, you can understand why this is an intriguing and great opportunity just as a business guy too.
Yeah. And kids know nowadays with like fantasy.
Yeah.
Like my sons could ramble off a dozen quarterbacks. They want Justin Jefferson gear.
Right? Yeah.
They want Cooper Kupp stuff. They want Mahomes jersey. Now they both have field stuff because they'll watch them on Sundays and their dad covers the team, but they know who's putting up the points. They know which teams are, you know, still winning. They're smarter.
My kid wants a Robbie Gould jersey though, so I don't know what that says about.
Well, Robbie's still playing.
When your dad's a special teams coach.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
John, no,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I go through my son's jerseys and it's all like he's got a Fields, but you know, he's got a million other ones. He had a Taylor Gabriel one. Because his first name's Gabriel.
Oh, I actually remember you posting that. I remember seeing that.
I showed it to Taylor. Yeah. He loved it. He thought it was great.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of Steelers stuff too, because that's like a team. You know, when you're a kid Steelers fan, you actually buy the, you want to be associated with that.
Yeah. Last episode, we were talking about like things that Kevin Warren can take from Soldier Field and bring to Arlington Heights.
The lake.
We've seen a lot of like different stadiums come and go here in Chicago. You know, like Comiskey's gone, Wrigley's right. still here. The old Chicago Stadium was across the street from the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think of the stadium scene here in Chicago? And then what would you take from Soldier Field and bring up, you know, I-90?
Well, you know what's funny? I've only been to one Bears game as a fan in my life. I think, don't people say that the views are pretty good, right? Because it's small.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. People say like this, the views. Here's a quick, funny story. The one time I went to a Bears game as a fan, I was in grad school in fall 2006. So the Bears Super Bowl season. And one of my grad school classmates was high school teammates with Jason McKee. And we got Jason's tickets that game. It was like the coldest game of the year as well against Minnesota.
It's Hoag's boss.
You can tell your boss I watched with Jason McKee. I watched in Jason's seats. His buddy was like, this guy was a couple years younger, played in high school with him in Florida, went and ran track at Dartmouth. Mm. And he was like this really kind of nerdy looking guy, but like an unbelievable athlete. And he was friends with McKee. So I watched with him. But yeah, I think the seats are good. Make sure you have good sight lines. You know, make sure the actual fan seating is the thing. I know when you build stadiums, you build them for luxury suites because that's where the money is. And club seating. Make sure there's still a lot of that for the fans. And the interesting thing to me is going to be what they do with the field, you know, the actual field. And I think you guys were both there, right, when I was asking Ted about that.
Yeah, you're talking about the actual playing surface.
The grass, actual playing surface.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was rare for, you know, it was a big story in The Athletic about it. You know, the fact that players hate this turf and they hate the combo turf, like at the Meadowlands and places like that. And I asked Ted if they're going to roll grass out and roll it in and out. And he said probably not, which on, you know, makes sense because we don't really have the warm climate here to do that. Like they do in Arizona or like, where else do they do it?
I think Vegas. I think the Raiders.
Oh, you're right. Raiders. But Raiders they do it in England. They do it at, I think, Tottenham.
Tottenham. Yeah,
right? They do it. So, yeah. I mean, the Bears, it would be really Bears, though. And you guys have to agree with this. Like, they were the ones getting ripped for not going to turf. And they would say, like, no, our studies show the players want grass. And, you know, everyone rips them, and it's actually, they were right. Players do want grass.
Want nice grass, though, not shitty grass.
Correct. Grass is grass in their mind. But, right, they want nice grass. So, but they were on the right side of that existential argument.
Yeah,
and now everyone else is going to go to grass, and the Bears are going to go to turf. And so I think that'll be funny.
The quarterback's on record, though, is saying he likes the turf.
Yeah, but he's also young. He doesn't know. You know, like, seriously, he's played 2 years in the NFL. Yeah. Like, I don't think he quite gets it yet. He still has his youth.
Well, he's also, I think that's what he's used to playing on the high school level. Ohio State has, they don't have grass, they have turf. And then Yeah. And then, you know, I guess Soldier Field is his first real grass experience, but I think he likes going to Minnesota and Detroit.
Sure. Well, he's fast.
You know, yeah.
Have you ever talked to the sod father about this?
About turf versus grass specifically?
And Soldier Field.
I've a little bit on Soldier Field, but yeah.
He won't talk on the record about it because he doesn't want to betray the groundskeeper, like, you know what I mean? But you're right, the circle of trust. But he's had some interesting stories, and not about the actual, he like defends whoever the groundskeeper is.
Kenny Morak.
Right. His problem is more with just like the bureaucracy behind. Well, it's not just the city, it's the city and the Bears, you know, and how they fight with each other.
Yeah.
But the sod father, Sully and I talked to him off the record last year about this a little bit, and he was pretty interesting. So that's going to be a big story, though. Watch out when the stadium comes. It'll be interesting. We don't know who the hell is going to be playing for the Bears by the time they build this fantasy stadium.
Also, we don't know what's going to happen with what you're talking about with this turf versus grass war. I mean, we're this thing's going to be 7-8 years down the line. What's that whole conversation going to be? And we know that the Meadowlands, I think one of the players spilled the beans that they're going to keep artificial, but it's a different type of turf. That's just something. It's a good point you bring up, and something we'll have to keep track of.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you guys think is the big thing besides, like, what do you think they need to do with the new stadium, or just in general marketing wise? I'm curious. You guys are more plugged into that than me.
Well, I think you nailed it. You got to be successful. You know, part of the Bears' old, to go back to your billboard arguments, now that, you know, Justin Fields is sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts, or he's got the deal with Dunkin' Donuts, mm-hmm. You see those billboards all the time now. But, like, I get what they're saying. Why spend money when we're already making money? It's a bit archaic in thinking, but I understand at least why they thought that. It's winning. It really is. Like, you mentioned your Steelers experiences, like the ambiance of the games. Like, it's
100%.
Like, winning creates all that. Like, I just think about, like, the Blackhawks, you know, of the 2010, 2013, 2015. Like, they created their own things because of what happened on the actual ice. You need a better product, and then it sells itself, you know? That's how I think things need to unfold, and then why Kevin Warren will be good for Ryan Poles.
And here's a good bit of marketing. I was at the Blackhawks game the other day, and I was watching, like, their between the between period shows in the sports book, and Lucas Patrick was a guest. How about that? He was on the he's bringing that Big Bears Lucas Patrick audience over to the Blackhawks.
That's big.
On Bulls night for some reason.
Wow, get all the teams.
A Bears guest at the Blackhawks game on Bulls night.
On Bulls night.
Correct. Well, they when they scheduled Bulls night, they forgot that they're playing in France, so like none of the players were going to show up because they're resting. So they got Bill Wennington to show up and like the Lovables.
Ah,
nice. Scheduled Bulls night while the team's in France.
Well, no, they were back, but it was they were the first one to go because they were like jet lagged.
Yeah.
They couldn't get him back, so like Bill Wennington was there though. I saw him.
John, do you think there's any chance that the Bears end up staying in the city?
No, because I don't know of any other stadium locations, right? I mean, I always thought, here's my idea, and this is my idea during like when it was coming out, was like the city should sell the Bears Soldier Field. Like, why do they want it? Like, and people are like, no, you know, park district rules and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Like, I totally get that. You know, there's a lot of logistical hoops. But one thing the pandemic showed us is that you can actually do things you thought previously were impossible. You can change things on the fly. You know, you can change the rules. Why not just sell them the stadium? Then they can develop it any way they want. But the issue, obviously, is there's just not enough space. You know, you're not going to sell them like the planetarium, right? You're not going to sell them the field museum. There just isn't enough space. And as critical as I think they should stay in the city, I'm not like Mark Carmen levels of asking about it. But, you know, I like the idea of all the teams playing in the city. I think it's cool. I don't think people that complain about traffic and other things are going to find some panacea out in the suburbs. Because if you ever try driving out to like Arlington Heights, you know, let's say when they have a Thursday night game, how easy do you think it's going to be to get from the city or wherever other suburbs that aren't close to that stadium? It's going to be an absolute nightmare. So I don't think people are going to find these like, it's going to be a pleasure cruise getting in and out of Arlington Park with 70,000 people. But I can totally understand. Listen, this should have happened in the 70s, right? Yeah. They played at Wrigley Field for 50 years. They're the first. That's, I wrote this the other day, like, and I can't stress it enough. You are the first NFL franchise. It is 2023, and you're still talking about your own stadium.
Yeah, that's wild.
It is. I don't, and people are like, well, you know, it was their only business. They didn't, you know, they're not rich otherwise. But like a lot of other NFL teams were in that same boat back then. And they figured it out.
Yeah, the team that you're
like
wearing right now, right? The Steelers, the family owned team.
Yeah, they, I mean, listen,
the Giants.
They played in Three Rivers until 2001. And Three Rivers was not great. And they weren't making any money. Bears have much better lease than the Steelers did with the county and the city for Three Rivers. I'll tell you that. But, you know, that's when the Steelers obviously exploded revenue wise is when they built a new stadium. But yeah, you could listen, you try to tell me in the '70s, Hallis couldn't find some money to build a stadium on the west side, south side. Give me a break. It's just like, they had no vision. They've never, I mean, he had vision as a football guy, the most vision of anyone, you know, but he never had vision as a businessman. And that's what doomed the Bears to be in this position. It's not Lori Lightfoot's fault that this is, you know, this is still an ongoing thing. Like, people want to blame her. It's not her fault. It's the McCaskey's fault. And it's the city's fault for not figuring out a better solution 50 years ago.
Yeah. You know,
and then 20 years ago, the same thing. They put a spaceship on top, on top of a landmark, then they lose the landmark status. You know, I mean, like, what are you going to do?
Well, and that's why I think the only scenario in which they can stay in the city is if they do what you said, and that's they actually let the Bears own the land. And even then, though, to your point, is it enough land? It's going to cost more money, and it's less land. So
and you got to like almost tear down the stadium and rebuild it.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's you know, it's just they painted themselves into a corner. And yeah, I don't want them to. I don't like the idea of Arlington Heights, but it's doable. I mean, football's the one, you know, team you can put them out in the suburbs. It's not really that big of a deal. But you like know, I said, for the fans that think it's going to be easy, I would advise you to think again. Look at I saw people tweeting the other day about the Niners stadium, how it was like traffic was like took people like 2-3 hours to get in and out.
It's right next door to an amusement park.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad location.
I went to that. I was there. Were you guys there? John, you were probably there for the first regular season game there because it was Bears Niners. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That was,
were you there?
I was there too.
Kaepernick game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually, the interesting part about that
that was Candlestick.
That was the other stadium.
That was the Kyle Fuller game. He had a couple of interceptions in that game.
Right.
And the Bears won.
Right. It was like the end of the Kaepernick era. It's basically like that was like the beginning of the end is when things got bad with Harbaugh. That season was bad for them. But I remember that one though. I drove from downtown San Francisco. I bought the Ghostface Iron Man CD at Amoeba Music in Haight Ashbury because I rented a car. And I actually got from downtown to the stadium in the running time of that album, which is under an hour. So I was really proud of myself.
I think the lesson I there think that is was
an anomaly.
Fans will travel for the
100%
to watch. They'll sit in traffic, they'll deal with BS, they'll deal with an amusement park emptying as they wait to get into the same lots.
And also, shit. I just like I'm not too concerned about the traffic thing.
It won't bother us.
Driving to Soldier Field on a Thursday right now is a nightmare. Yeah, I got to leave my house at 1:00, or I'm going to sit there in traffic for 2.5 hours. Yeah. So it's Chicago. The traffic is going to suck wherever the stadium is.
It's a big city. It's a big city in a big area. There's always going to be traffic. You got to find your secret shortcuts and whatever. But like. I just say, like, everyone talks about, like, it's going to be a solution. That's not the solution. The solution is the Bears can possibly, you know, make more money and a bigger experience. The other thing for fans, just to, you know, I don't want to hear – I want to, like, save people's tweets complaining about Soldier Field and then see what happens when they see the price ticket prices for a new stadium in the suburbs because they're going to be astronomical. You know, they're not astronomical, but they'll be a lot. You're going to be paying a lot. So, you know, I just hope fans know they're the ones paying for this.
John, appreciate the insight. Enjoy having you on. I want to make sure all our listeners are following you at John_Greenberg. You get all kinds of stuff on the stadium and snarky media tweets at all times, too.
Yeah, I love you on this podcast, Hogue. I don't listen to the other one. Sorry.
Jesus. Comments like that.
Throwing haymakers on the way out.
Yeah. Come on.
Thanks, John.
Give Mark Carmen love.
He kind of did.
Or maybe I'm the problem on that show. I probably am. I'm always a problem. It's all a problem, as a former coach would say. All right. We got to get out of here speaking of that because there's other shows to do and other things to do in life. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, Reed, Johnsy, Greenberg, Fishbane, Pompey, the whole crew on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns. You can find me at AllCHGO. And we do a show every day at noon. And I guarantee you Greenberg watches more than he says. So check that out.
Well, make fun of him.
Yeah.
And then you'll know.
Right. So something tells me that one's not going to make his list of like... Oh, he does a survey, though. His thing's a survey.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas the Sun-Times thing last week was just one guy's rankings.
Correct. Yes. Jeff Agers.
Which, speaking of Mark Carmen, his yearly bit of being number 21 on the list is always hilarious. 21 or 221. You never know.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here. Obvious Shirts is the place to go for all the merch. Appreciate the support from everyone. As I like to say, tell a friend. We're not going anywhere. We're plugging through the offseason. We'll be back Thursday, actually, with more. We'll talk a little bit about the games coming up this weekend. Yes, and
football-y show.
Yeah, and get into some free agency. We got a lot of big plans coming up, so make sure you are subscribed, telling your Bears fans all about it. We'll be here for you, Hogue and Johns, and we'll talk to you in a couple days.
See ya.
Hey, George.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, football fans. This is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.